So today we get to wrap up this tremendous chapter in Philippians 2. Chapter 2 is one that is loaded with mysterious and glorious theology in regard to the two natures of Christ. If you recall, Jesus is one person with two natures. He's fully God, 100%. Anything you think of God, that's Jesus as well. He's also 100% man. Anything you think of like us, he can relate, he can understand, except he's without sin. In chapter 2, it mentions these two natures that Jesus possesses. It talks about his estate of humiliation, where Jesus, though he's fully God, takes on the form of a servant, becomes like us, undergoes hunger, thirst, lives amongst us, submits himself to the law of God, submits himself to the wrath of God, to death itself, and buried in the grave. It also talks about his great exaltation, to where God was so pleased with his work that he raised him from the dead to demonstrate he was pleased, exalted him. He's ascended in, on high. He's seated at the right hand of the Father and is now ruling and reigning and putting all of his enemies under his feet. And he's given the name that is above every name, to which every knee will bow and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a chapter where there's hundreds of volumes written about it. It's a good study to just to dwell on the person of Christ. But if you recall, the purpose that Paul gave us this theology was to move our hearts, was to move our lives, to move our actions in care and service of others, especially within the family of God. We're called to a life of humility, to consider the interests of others, to have the mind of Christ, if you recall, which Jesus is the ultimate expression of service, care, and sacrifice. Today we're going to look briefly at three people, brothers in the Lord, who demonstrate the characteristics of Christ, the mind of Christ. We're going to consider Paul, we're going to consider Timothy, and a gentleman named Epaphroditus. So let me pray, and we'll read our text this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would send our spirit, that you would guide us and teach us this morning as we wrap up chapter 2 this morning. Help us to understand what you're calling us to as your people, as we look to the examples of these three men, trying to live out what you call us to be. Lord, I'm also mindful of Gerald this morning and pray that you would just help him to overcome the things that he's dealing with physically. I pray that he can recover well. But Lord, we just thank you for this time, and I pray that you give us ears to hear what you're saying to your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Philippians 2, verses 19 to 30. Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may too be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son and a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger, and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. This ends readings of God's word this morning. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says this morning. Charles Spurgeon, he said, if God has called you to be his servant, why stoop to be a king? There's a world of needs around us, and we are called by God to be his servants upon the earth. If God has called you to be a servant, why stoop to be a king? Typically, when we think of a king, we think of those who do not serve, but those who are served. A king, at least what I think of, is a person who commands those underneath him, fulfills all his wishes and desires while he sits and contemplates how wonderful he is. You can almost hear his thoughts as he looks into the mirror. I am a great king, and it's a joy for all these people to serve me. And though we might not be kings or queens of an old era, we personally can have the same kind of attitude. We think others should attend to our needs or the needs of the world while we sit comfortably in our homes and our self-seeking routines. And when there are needs or ways that we can care for others, we wonder why aren't others doing anything about it? Well, the whole time we should be considering, how can we be caring for others? Sometimes we wish others were doing what we should be doing ourselves. And this whole chapter, chapter 2, is calling us to grow in our genuine concern for others, especially in the matters of Christ. Genuine concern. Just two words that I want you to think about today as go through the sermon if you don't remember anything else. Genuine concern. Think on those two words and ask yourself, how is my genuine concern for others doing? For those in my home, those around me, a neighbor, matters of the world. Genuine concern. Again, you see there in your sermon notes, our theme is the call. This whole chapter is grow in our genuine concern for others, especially in the matters of Christ. And our first point is just simply be one who cares about the matters of others. Just be one who simply cares about the matters of others. In verse 19, Paul says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered of news of you. Here we hear the heart of Paul, a missionary who's consumed with the glory of Christ and a love for the faith of Christ's people. He wants to know how the Philippians are doing. He wants to send Timothy to them because he wants to hear how they are doing, how they're doing and be encouraged by their stories. Paul is obviously living in a time when he can't send a text to Lydia. He couldn't send an email to the jailer. He couldn't call the former slave girl. But he would send Timothy. Remember, Paul is in prison. He's waiting to hear if he'll be released or if he'll face execution. He could have went on and on about his trials. He could have went on and on about talking about five times that he was beat by the Jews with 39 lashes. He could have talked about being shipwrecked not one, two, but three times. He could talk about how he's adrift at the sea. He could talk about all the dangers and toils and hardships of being a missionary. But he wants to hear how they're doing. He wants to hear how his spiritual children are doing. He wants to hear from Lydia and her household. How are you growing in faith? How are you all doing? He wants to hear from this former slave girl that they freed from that spirit of divination. He wants to hear from that jailer and household. How are you all doing? And be cheered by their stories. When you care about others, you inquire how they're doing. It ends up being a double blessing. It blesses the one who's doing the inquiring, showing you have interest. It blesses those whom you ask how they're doing. It means you care. How's God moving? How is he answering the prayer request you had a couple weeks ago? But it also blesses the one who asks the question, because you're developing a bond, a deepness, a richness of joy, of sharing in joys and sorrows. But there is a stipulation. You have to be someone who actually asks people how they're doing. How are you? What was the most interesting thing in your week this week? What was the hardest thing that you faced this week? How can I pray for you? And as you ask questions, don't be someone who just asks yes or no questions. Something I'm trying to learn to do with my kids. Don't, you know, how are you doing today? Was school good? You don't give them options of yes or no questions. You ask in such a way, you know, what was the most interesting thing today? What was the most frustrating thing today? And ask these questions. The other side of it, if someone does ask you, how are you doing? You have to be willing to open up. You know, I think typically, you know, we want to be shy or not just give our emotions to someone else. And the typical reply is, I'm doing okay. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. And it's hard because you want to find people you trust. You want to guard your heart a little bit because there are some people that can run off with information. But find people. Be a person that's genuine, right? Genuine concern. Ask how people are doing and share what God's doing in your life. Genuine care and interest involves sharing our stories for each other's cheer and each other's encouragement. Tony Evans, he reminds us, he talks about appliances in our home. He says, appliances don't serve themselves. Toasters don't eat their own toast. Refrigerators don't cool the food they're going to eat. Stoves don't eat the food they cook. A microwave doesn't digest the food it radiates. Can openers don't eat what they open. Appliances are meant to serve somebody else. And God has assigned us a purpose to care for the matters of others. So ask yourself, how is your genuine concern for others? Our second point is that we're called to care about others and the concerns of Christ. We'll look at Timothy. Paul says in verse 20, he says, I have no one like Timothy. He will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interests, those who preach Christ for ill gain that he talked about earlier in chapter 1, not those of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but you know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. So Paul plans to send Timothy to them once he knows how his situation is going. And Timothy's willing to go. This is not a simple trip where you just jump in a car, fill the gas tank, make sure you have your coffee, your energy drink, your Mountain Dew, your Pepsi, get your favorite Pringles or your Chex Mix, and turn on your favorite music and just head off to go see the Philippians. For Timothy, it would be an 800-mile trip. One way. And you can know the conditions would be rigorous, they'd be tiring, and at times dangerous. And then once he gets to Philippi and shares the message of how Paul's doing, he's going to turn around and travel 800 miles back to Paul. And Timothy's willing. He's genuinely concerned for the Philippians. Listen to how Paul speaks of Timothy. He says, I have no one like him. I have no one like him. Commentators say this is the idea. He has a like-mindedness of Paul with the concerns of Christ and the church. Timothy has genuine concern for Christ and God's people. He's humble. He's obedient. He listens to Paul, and he'll serve Paul. I have no one like him. He says he has proven worth. In the working world, that lingo is Timothy is an asset. He's not a liability. He's trustworthy. He follows through. He's willing to put in time, energy, effort, sacrifice. He has proven worth. He's a son to a father. He loved him like his own son. There's mutual love, mutual respect, mutual honor. And Stephen Lawson writes, he says, if we're to be profitable servants, we must be self-denying and not self-focused like Timothy. If we are to be useful instruments to the Lord, we must be large-hearted like Timothy. Large-hearted. Timothy is genuinely concerned for the Philippians, especially in the matters of Christ. He says, Paul says others seek their own interests, but Timothy, he'll talk about the things of Christ. Timothy as he would arrive in Philippi. He would remind them of who they are in Christ Jesus. They're holy, they're chosen, they are beloved. They are heirs, they are saints with Christ Jesus. He would remind them of the gospel. Do not fall back into the ways of the culture and the philosophies and religion. It's always Christ and Christ alone. Knowing no one or nothing else. Do not trust in your own efforts that Paul will go through in chapter 3 to really explain. It's always Christ and Christ alone. Remind them that they are new creations in Christ. Remind them that they're empowered by the Spirit of Christ to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. He would talk to them about the ways of Christ. As you know, the culture between Lydia and the jailer and the former slave girl, very different backgrounds. He would remind them to be patient and kind. Not envious or boastful, not arrogant or rude, not insisting on your own way, not irritable, not resentful, not rejoicing in wrongdoing, rejoicing in truth. Believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things in Christ. These are things he would share and remind them of. We are to care for each other in the concerns of Christ. General conversation is good, but conversations around Christ bring light and life. Football conversations are good, but they won't save a soul. Political conversations, they're good, they won't save a soul from hell. The latest TikTok trend may be fun, but consider the friend's salvation. Look for ways to talk about the interests of Christ. Good conversation is good. General conversation is good. But ask for open doors, open windows to share about Christ. And lastly, point 3. Encourage others by sharing what the Lord is doing in your life. Encourage others by sharing what the Lord is doing in your life. In verse 25. He says, I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. He has been longing for you. He's been distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete that which was lacking in your service to me. Epaphroditus, he's another example of humility and how to care for the interests to others. Listen to how Paul describes him. It's accolade upon accolade, this Epaphroditus. He says he's my brother. It's not just an acquaintance that he met. This is my brother in the Lord. I love him dearly. He's my fellow worker. He's not one who just watches comfortably on the sidelines. He's engaged in this mission of kingdom building. He's a fellow soldier. He's shoulder to shoulder with Paul in his spiritual warfare for the souls of people. He says he's your messenger. This is the people that the Philippians sent to Paul to encourage him, to give him a gift, a financial need to pay for the rent of the house that he's in while he's chained to this Roman guard. And he's a minister to my need. He came to bless Paul. He would travel that 800 miles to say, here, Paul, here's the collection that the Philippians have taken up for you. How are you doing? I can imagine just Paul, you know, just sitting there with the Roman guard chained to him, and Epaphroditus just shows up. Paul, how are you? Paul, we love you. Paul, how can we encourage you? Epaphroditus was sent from the Philippians to serve him with this gift. But after that 800-mile trip, he got very, very sick. And it concerned Paul. It concerned the Philippians greatly. This book is about having deep and abiding joy. You'll hear joy and rejoicing over and over. But at times we will have sorrow. They were worried about him. And Paul was so thankful that God was merciful to Epaphroditus because he said, I would have sorrow upon sorrow. But listen to Epaphroditus' heart. even though he was the one who was sick and near death. In verse 26, Paul says, he's been longing for you. He's been distressed over you because he heard that you heard that he was ill. He's not concerned about his health. He's concerned for their emotional well-being. He's concerned that they're worrying about him, and he doesn't want them to be distraught. So Paul sends him back, says, receive him, honor him. He nearly died for Christ's work. Paul doesn't want them to have sorrow. He wants them to see Epaphroditus face to face. He doesn't want to send somebody else with a letter. He's going to send him so that they can see him and hear what the Lord's doing in his life. Epaphroditus could have stayed with Paul, kept him company. But both Paul and Epaphroditus, they wanted him to go back. They wanted him to know that he was okay. Lawson writes again, our ministry must be carried not only with our hands, but with our heart. We must be emotionally connected with others in our service for the Lord. We must seek to feel with them and feel for them. So Paul wants to encourage them, sharing what the Lord has done, that he's healed Epaphroditus personally. He wants to share with them what God is doing in their lives. And we should do that with one another. Share how the Lord has brought you through a trial. Speak of the Lord's blessings in your life. Share how thankful you are of how God just got you through a day. Share how you're so dependent on him and there's no way you can make it through a day. Speak of how Christ is so precious to you. Share how you have this assurance of salvation because of Christ. Encourage one another. This is what's part of worship, why we sing and worship. This is a way to encourage, to share what God is doing in our lives. And do it more and more. So how can Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus live like this? How can they do this? They're just overwhelmed by the mercy and grace of Christ. They've come to understand the mountain of sin that he came to atone for. They understand the cost. Remember, these people were living in a time where they would see crucifixions all around them. And here's somebody that would willingly come, God himself, take on flesh and allow his creation to do this to him. Their sins would be atoned for, forgiven. They're utterly transformed. You know Paul's testimony on the road to Damascus, ready to put more Christians in jail, and Jesus shows up. He's alive. He's Lord. He's King. And they're so overwhelmed by his mercy, by his spirit in their lives, but they just can't help but to be loving, to be patient towards Christ's people. And that's the question we must ask ourselves. Have we encountered this Christ who loves us so much? Have we encountered this Christ who's so patient with us? Have we encountered this Christ who just loves and loves and loves and pursues? May he fill us with his spirit, transform our hearts and minds to be like Christ. Again, Spurgeon, if God has called you to be his servant, why stoop to be a king? There's a world of needs around us, and we're called by God to be his servants. Genuine concern. Think of those two words. Genuine concern. Satan and the world will bring up all kinds of reasons of why you should stay away, stay quiet. Just keep to yourself, whether it's danger, frustration, grumbling, complaining. Why get your hands dirty? Jesus got dirty. Washing our feet, going to a cross for us. Genuine concern. How are we doing? May the Spirit reveal to our hearts and our minds where we can grow as we rest in Christ to show genuine concern to the ultimate degree. Rest in him and ask him to grow you in these things. Be one who cares about the matters of others, one who cares about the concerns of Christ and others. Encourage each other with what Christ is doing. Let's grow in our genuine concern for one another. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, your power is sweet. And Lord, help us to taste of Jesus, to know that he's good. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Grow us stronger in our love and glory of Christ, and stronger in our glory and unity for one another. Empower us, overwhelm us with the glories of Christ, that would just overflow in our interactions with one another. Lord, I'm thankful for people to share burdens, to know that things are tough at times, and to know others are praying. Thank you for times where we can share our joys too. Lord, minister to all of our hearts with these truths, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.